All right, everybody, welcome back here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. We've got a fun conversation coming up today. I don't think it's going to get spicy, Sid. I think we're going to be okay. It's just me and you battling it out.
I know, but I was trying to see maybe there could be some tension on the conversation, and then you went and basically you flipped your role and became preaching pastor of a church, and all of a sudden everything's different now for you.
I know.
Feel like you've flipped on me a little bit here.
The inside scoop to this conversation, and it's not really going to come out maybe so much once we get into it, but historically, for the last 15 years,
correct,
I've been a very big champion of video curriculum in youth ministries.
Yeah.
And you have not been.
Well, I remember the very first time we had the conversation, it was in Banff gathering with a bunch of our friends, and you were all over the video. This was right when, like, I think Alpha was first coming out with their series after Quest. And I was like, what are you even talking about right now? Like, I was like, no, we got to preach. We got to be live preach. So I remember that moment, actually. And you were subtly pushing on it. And then, Jer, you just said this today. People, you're going to love this. So, I mean, some of our training videos are up on, like, right now, media, right? And so they're getting out there a little bit. Not much.
It's true.
But then also, you said today, you go, hey, I'm the one that with the preaching contract. You, Jer, you've signed a preaching contract and you're doing it for a church, which is wicked awesome.
I live preach.
I'm just doing video content delivery. I'm, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, a good chunk of it's coming out.
Flip of the script. Yeah. We're both. So we appreciate it. So we're going to get into that in a second. But before we do, we want to make sure that as you are listening, if this is live for you, we're in the midst of our event season. And hey, if it's not live, you should still go to our website because maybe it's event season again in the future. Whenever you're listening.
Because it's almost, do we even have a season when we don't have an event going on these days?
I think at this point, we have a little break in the summertime maybe, but if it's not summertime when you're listening to this, there's probably an opportunity for you to come and hang out with us. And so head to the link in the show notes, but we've got 10 events that we're going to be at this season. We're going to tell people about them all the time because we want to see them. So that's the big thing. So there's three categories. So I'll tee that up and then Sid, you tell them. We got youth worker conferences in 5 Canadian cities this season, training your whole volunteer team. What do you want to say about that?
Well, yeah, listen, honestly, you guys, we believe that volunteers are positioned like next to family and maybe the most significant relational role with students. And if we can just kind of like encourage and equip them just a little bit, do you know what I mean? The impact can be exponential, not just for the kids, by the way, but for the church, because Jer, we also know that every time we train a volunteer in youth ministry, like youth ministry is the best training ground for being an effective small group leader or an effective like shepherd discipler, that now that training actually can have like effect for decades as they work in other areas of the church as well. So like youth workers, you guys are shaping the church right now and you're laying incredible foundations for the future. So point is, we would love to be with you and your volunteer team at the youth worker conferences. We want to help equip you to lead your team. And we also want to come alongside with you in encouraging and equipping your team. So you got to get there with them, Jer. And Jer, we're making pricing as cheap as possible so that you can start bringing chunks of your team. And man, even if the pricing is off for you, contact us, please. We believe in this so much that you need to get there with your teams. Love that.
Yeah. So those 5 events, 5 Canadian cities, links in the show notes. We're also gathering in 2 different cities, Vancouver and Toronto, with youth pastors specifically for the Canadian Youth Pastors Summit. And so this fall and then again this winter, we're really looking forward to that. That's a deep dive with just youth pastors. It's our second time doing it. Anything specific you want to say about that, Sid?
Well, it's an awesome partnership with the Canadian Church Leaders Network. So we love working together with them. And again, 2 reasons for that. Like youth pastors, you need to like get equipped, get built up, get developed now. Some of you are going to stay in youth ministry for like a lifetime. Awesome. Bless you. That's wonderful. You should do that and keep raising your leadership lid. But some of you are going to move on to other roles of leadership in your organizations or churches. And we just think if we can lift the lid on your leadership now, you'll be like so helpful that you'll move into those other roles where you're now affecting systems and structures of an organization, but you'll still have a heart for the next generation, even while you do it. So, you know, we love the guests that we have coming, Jer. We think that it's designed really well to help you as a youth pastor kind of get up to that 30,000 foot level and see the big picture and figure out how to put the pieces in place to execute on that with your teams and your ministries, et cetera, et cetera. So get there with us. It's a really great time. It's really fun.
Yeah. And then we've got now they're just running through lots. So let's do a quick shout out on these two, and then we'll jump into today's conversation. We've got Change Conference, which is this fall. And
dude, how good is Change Conference? How good are those people? How good is YFC making Change Conference happen?
It's so good. It's a one where you can bring your students. It's a primary way to evangelize, especially for some of your unchurch kids. It's a great party on Friday night, but a great chance for them to be introduced to the gospel. And then we'll be doing the youth worker training, and so we're there for both in Toronto and Ottawa. And then in the new year, we've got today's Teens Conference, which we're really excited to host this year. Another great one where you can bring your student leaders and get them trained and equipped.
And your volunteer team. Yeah. Maddie Wilkinson's been rocking that thing forever. And so we love working with Matt, who is like a guru in youth ministry. I think he was actually like helping lead youth ministry before he was born in the womb.
It's a very family legacy experience.
Yeah, it's a legacy play.
So those links are in the show notes. We'd love to have yet one of those. But let's jump into our conversation that we're going to have, me, you, Sid, that we're going to chat about this big thing all about, hey, what is better for your youth ministry, live teaching or video curriculum?
Oh, let's go.
Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Okay, so Sid, this is our audience is volunteers. So we know that, hey, as volunteers, you're not necessarily choosing video or live preaching necessarily for your ministry. That's usually your point leader.
Right, but in our country, most of our ministries are led by volunteers. So in our country, many of them are doing that, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But we also know, because we talk to youth pastors as well, the staff, that you as a volunteer have got enormous influence. Obviously, we care deeply about what you think. And so when you start leaning and saying, hey, I really want it to be this, or I really want it to look like that, we anticipate you're saying that out of an abundance of care for your students and their spiritual journey and trying to find what's helpful for them. And so we just want to talk about, okay, what's actually better for youth ministries between those two options?
Yeah. Hey, and let me just say the first thing is like you need teaching. Like teaching needs to be a part of our ministries, right? Do I get to say that? Did I jump?
That's good. That's really good. Yeah. In fact, it's probably a worthwhile question because even for, you know, Sid, you've been preaching for a very long time in ministry. And so it does beg the question of just why do we actually preach? Obviously, we care about that. We, you know, churches, when they gather on Sundays, there's always a preaching element to it. When we gather with our youth ministry, typically there's there's not always, but, you know, typically there's some type of teaching or preaching to it.
Yeah.
And so what about that format, about the proclamation, about speaking out, whether it's live or whatever it is, why do we actually bother with that method?
Well, listen, there's lots of reasons why, but let me give you the ones that are dear to my heart, to be honest with you. Like followers of Christ are people of the word. We love the word. We love the scriptures. And the reason we love the scriptures so much is because it is the place where we can most clearly see Jesus and get to know Jesus. And Jared, real quick, I think some people kind of separate their relationship with Jesus from their relationship with the scriptures, but Jesus actually never did that. You know, like he always connected the word with who he was. Like the word is relationally meaningful. And the Holy Spirit actually works through the word to shape and transform us. So the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. As we see Jesus in the scriptures, we become like Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we love the scriptures. For me, I love it so much. It's the place where I most clearly see Jesus. The Holy Spirit works to correct, train, rebuke, you know, all just shaping us through the word. And it's an objective reality as well. So I know, hey, Jerry, you and I will have passages. We'll wrestle over what does this actually mean. We don't get it perfectly, but that doesn't mean that the scriptures themselves aren't true. We just don't see it as clearly as we should. So we love history. We love being in community as we wrestle with these things, but we know that God has ordained that he works through the word to help us see Jesus and become more like him. So we love the scriptures. We love them.
Yeah, which is true. But now let me push you a little bit, because then why don't we just sit around and read the Bible together as groups? This is actually the teaching from the scriptures. So what about preaching is unique?
Yeah. So here was my thing on it. I just think that God has gifted some people for preaching and teaching really specifically. So that much like, hey, we all have a responsibility to share the gospel with other people. Some people are more gifted. It comes naturally. The results are like more significant maybe than for others. Like I'm not like I would call a gifted evangelist, but I know I want to tell people about Jesus. When it comes to the teaching of scriptures, We should all fight to teach, but some are more gifted than others. They have more time to spend studying, understanding. They can communicate more clearly than maybe some other people do. And I just think it's smart for us as part of the body of Christ to like leverage people who are gifted in these areas. And we live in a unique time in history where we can. Like, there's certain topics, Jer, that I would way rather have, you know, that person who's spent all the time that she's an expert in this topic communicate that to my students than me, because I know she can do it better. At the same time, I also know, Jer, that my students trust me. And so I'm not turning them over to someone else, but I am leveraging and using someone else's gifts in those moments as well. So I think there's some wisdom with that.
Okay, that's good. And then for our ministries, is there something you want to say specifically about the ways that students are growing their relationship with God and how that's connected to the preaching?
Yeah. Hey, listen, a couple things on that real quick. And I think, Jer, I know you're trying to lead me somewhere, so you're going to also hit what you're thinking. But the other part of it is we need to see the scriptures lived out. So as a leader, you have the opportunity to live out the truth of scripture before your kids in relationship with them. Nobody on a screen gets to do that. And that is so significant and so important. So there's something really powerful when we can partner, perhaps, with someone on the screen as they teach, and then we teach through what we model and invite kids into on the day in, day out journey that we find ourselves in. And Jer, here's the thing for especially, I think, volunteer-led ministries. Like, you know, for me as a volunteer youth worker, because I am one right now, I don't necessarily have, like, I only have a limited amount of time that I can give to my organization, my church, or my youth group. And so then I have to weigh, well, do I spend that in preparation to teach, or do I spend that in relational engagement? And you have to sort that out yourself. I think the point we want to make, Jer, is that we have resources that can allow you to like make a good decision in that area and have a really healthy, effective youth ministry that's being faithful to what we think our call is as guides when it comes to our students, leading them to Jesus and through his word. Yeah.
I think the one thing I was thinking about is that just back to the like that core question of why do we actually preach and teach versus just like, let's open the Bible together with our students, is there is a time to model like, hey, that exploration and even in community, that's good. But there is something that, you know, we're taught in the scriptures about actually using the scriptures, about preaching, about, declaring the truth of God. And that actually is like, again, this form of teaching where we can bring application to students. We can bring specific things that we want to shape their understanding. Yeah. And that, and goodness knows, hey, we can still do that in smaller settings and reading the Bible, but there is something for some reason set apart about this thing that we do where we dedicate time to explicitly grow together as in that kind of teaching.
And Jer, here's one of the pieces that, you know, you just tweaked something in my mind. I think there's something about discovering together. And we talk about that, right? We have actually like a resource on how to discover the truth of scripture together. And we should do that. One of the dangers is that when we come to the scriptures, the first question we ask is, what does this mean to me? But actually the first question we want to ask is, what does this mean? Like, what's God actually trying to get across to us? And that can require, you know, extra time, training, understanding that I know I don't have in many circumstances. So it's great to leverage someone else who has done that and does have that. And then the second question is, okay, now that we know what this means, got some clarity, okay, what does it actually mean to me? How do I apply this? How do I apply my life to this reality? So I think also, Jer, like, we're pretty passionate about fighting to try to understand what the author of scripture was trying to say to the people they were communicating to. And then out of that saying, okay, now what does that actually mean for us here? And as a guide, our responsibility is to help lead our students through that process.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and that's good. Just to hang on for that, like, hey, we want it when we preach, the goal is like, hey, we want to understand the scriptures more and we want to be led closer to Jesus. Like, those are probably two pretty good handles in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. Preaching isn't like just meant to be motivational. It's not meant to just be rally the troops or get people fired up. Like, there's explicit goals that we're hoping for. But then we have these kind of two methods that we see lived out in our ministries. So live teaching, you know, somebody's up front, they prepared a message, they open scripture, maybe they tell a funny story, they try a joke. Sometimes it lands, sometimes it doesn't. you know, like, it's the live teaching. And
hey, let me just be really clear, Jer. I don't know that I've ever seen one of your jokes not land. Like, you put work in. Like, you're working. when you're getting that joke, that don't land. For me, it's just like off the top of my head, and I think to myself, this is funny, and everyone's like, not funny. You've done the work. You've tried it out on some people. You've had a test crew. You've done the work.
I was practicing one with my wife for an upcoming wedding. She's like, that one's not good. That doesn't work. I'm like, yeah, this is why we're doing this. This is important. Okay, so live teaching. And then in youth ministry now, there's video curriculum. And
yeah.
There are as extensive as like the Alpha Film series, and we love the work of Alpha to be able to put that out there. Incredible resource. If you haven't used it, you got to use it. There's a link in the show notes. The best video curriculum that you could possibly imagine. It's more than just curriculum. But then all the way down to churches, ministries offer like their preachers that have, here's me preaching a message. I preach in such a way that you can use it as well. And we have some of those things that we've got from our friends as well. And so we've got a link to that in the show notes. So there's a range of video curriculum. Between the two, I mean, I know where we're going with this, so maybe I'll just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
The point isn't actually about the method, although we're trying to tee this up as if there's one better than the other. I think what we need to tell people, Sid, right, is that it's not so much about which method your ministry uses. It's more about what you do with it. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I think that's really wonderful. And Jerry, you and I actually both philosophically believe that in a youth ministry, let's say you have a live teacher, like the teaching is there to set up the small group leader to have a great conversation with their students and to set up the small group leader to be able to shepherd their students. Mm-hmm. So that's actually our win. So when that becomes our win, that can be either live or video teaching that can help do that. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it's going to take to leverage that space. Really
before
well.
We do, we should just reiterate, because there's some volunteers and you're like, oh, we don't have small groups in our ministry,
right,
or that even just as a philosophy is different for me. And so why do we say, hey, it's not just enough to preach a good message. The actual value is what happens after the fact in small group. Why do we say that, Sid? There's research behind it, right?
Well, yeah. And here's what happens. What we know, Jer, what you and I know, and we talk to our friends like Ebony Davis and Dave Ron, who do great research in the US, and Ebony, by the way, is going to be at our conferences. You know, one of the things they found when it came to resilient faith, that when it came to things like teaching the scriptures, if you did something with it or you studied in the context of relationship, it rooted itself more significantly than you didn't. And so for us, when we can take that teaching and then go into small groups and carry on the learning space, number one, you're like now doing something with the teaching, which is powerful, but you're also doing it within the context of community, which is deeply shaping. And there's there's all sorts of other things like where we have space to process, ask hard questions, wrestle with, apply through the week. Like all these things are present in that space that you don't necessarily get, or it's not as easy to access when you're passively like sitting in an audience just watching a communicator, and then you're out when it's over. Do you know what I mean? So we want to go deeper.
Yeah. Okay, so let's give some people a few different handles. Whether you've got a live teacher, whether you've got video curriculum, what do we actually think volunteer youth workers should be doing after that experience?
Okay, brilliant. So that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hit it. So we think there's four things that we should be doing that a volunteer leader needs to do with the teaching. And again, we would say whether it's live or not, like depending on the structure of your ministry, but let's talk specifically about like digital teaching. How does a small group leader use this? How do we make the most of this? How do we leverage this? Okay, so let's hit that real clear, Jer. That's what we want to do.
Sure. Okay, so what would you say?
Okay, four things. First thing I'd say is, hey, you need to own the fact that you're the guide. So you're the, and we love to call our volunteer leaders guides, and that they have a responsibility to guide students towards Jesus through the word. So they carry that sense of responsibility. And Jer, you know, for me, and this is the language that I've used, when you're in a room with students and you got digital teaching, the authority in the room actually isn't the digital teaching, you are. And here's what there are a couple things that means for me really practically. Like number one, that means that probably as the guide, I've already listened to that, so that teaching. So I'm ready to like affirm the best of it, challenge what maybe I don't think I agree with, and then also like apply or move from it into an area that I think really fits my students. So I'm prepared. I'm leveraging them, but I'm the primary shepherd in the room. And then the other thing that means from, go ahead, Jared, what were you
saying? I was just going to ask, do you think that's any different than if it's a live teacher?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think it's the same thing, like to some degree. It's harder to differentiate. Here's my fear. Jared, here's the fear. Like, I think what we do is we become passive as the leader, and we become a critiquer. We start to critique the screen along with our students. And so all of a sudden you like remove yourself from it. And then now it doesn't become very valuable because we've just deconstructed it, as opposed to like owning that experience and taking the best out of it to lead our students. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I want to shift how we position ourselves. Like as a volunteer leader, when you're with your students, you're not just another person in the audience alongside them. You become their guide in the middle of that experience. So they'll still look to you as the primary authority in terms of how you affirm what's been said, how you lead from what's been said, or you know, what you challenge, how you challenge what's been said. And here's where I think this works itself out in video teaching. One of the things that we tend to do with video teaching, and we should, is we tend to like critique production. Like, the production's lame. You don't talk the way that I would talk, like blah, blah, blah. I'll be really honest, like production has certain value. And if you are simply positioned as like a passive observer, then production becomes very, very important. But when we see that screen as like the facilitator or helpful facilitator, you can use what's given even if the production is poor. But how you position yourself with that screen will shape how your students position themselves. So if you're just into critique mode on production, then you're not going to be open to what are the good things you can take from it or work off of it. So that's, you know, Jer, for me, that's why it becomes really important to see yourself as the guide, as the authority or, you know, in the room to lead our students, you know, and allow that to be the beginning, like facilitating where you're going to go with them. Again, you can challenge, you can affirm, you can build, you know, whatever you want to do off that, that's fine. But you don't want to just simply position yourself as like a passive observer along with your students in the room.
Yeah. And I would say probably it's more natural to guide when it's a live communicator.
Brilliant.
And like you kind of said a couple minutes ago, is that when it's a screen, sometimes we could move into that deconstruction kind of mode. I don't know if this is, hey, my students doesn't seem like they like it. And so maybe I'm just going to kind of come alongside of them. And the thing about video teaching is, again, somebody that I've used it and seen it used in some of the most, you know, expansive, largest ministries in North America, it's just clear to me that it actually isn't necessarily whether live or video is the thing. Like, it's not like one or the other is better. It's just the one that has the group of volunteers that are guiding students out of that experience that ends up seeing the biggest results. So, if your students are not quite catching with it, then all you have to do is either find ways to encourage them or cast vision to them of what's going on, and then do a better job of guiding out of it. So you have to guide coming out of the teaching, whatever it is.
And you got to be prepared to do that guiding, Jer.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
Like that's where, hey, you can set them up for it. You can say, hey, you guys, like quality of the screen's not great, but that's irrelevant. Listen, there's some things here that we're going to hear that I want you to be thinking about as we go in. And that's going to change everyone's disposition towards it.
Okay. That's the first thing. What is your second thing?
Yeah, my second thing is like, okay, so this is a personal thing, Jer, that I like, and you and I have talked about a little bit, like as we've started to build now like digital teaching, one of the things I like is thinking about like our questions, like our processing afterwards, and processing is really important. I love re-engaging the passage real quickly to set ourselves back in the Word. So if it's what's ideal is if you have a video teacher teaching from scripture, great, the passage is right there for you. If they're dealing with a topic in particular, something like that, I like to take a specific passage that also deals with that, comes alongside, and maybe spend a little bit of time with my students going, okay, guys, ladies, let's open up the Word here. I want us to read these three verses real quick. What stands out to you from these verses? Do you have any questions for it? Okay, what does this actually tell us about Jesus or tell us about how we should be living or who we are? And so we get rooted in the scripture, and then we can go back to start to process some of like the applications or the challenges that the speaker led us on as well. But we know that conversation has been rooted there. I really like just using a few what we would call inductive study questions, like what do you observe? What do you think this means? Okay, what are we going to do with it? Out of a passage that can connect to the speaker. And I think it just fills us something, like it's richer. It gets us rooted there. It makes us think deeper. And it really clarifies that along with the shepherd, the scriptures are the authority that we care a lot about. So I just think that can be a helpful piece.
Okay, so number one, you need to guide. So it's not about video or live. Number one, as a small group leader, as a volunteer, you have to guide. Number two, you're going to re-engage the passage. That's great. Yep. I love that. Yep. Do you have a three? Or are we at two?
I got three and a four, bro.
So okay. Three.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I got the list. Are you kidding me right now? Come on.
That's good.
So here's my number three. We need to ask great questions. I think one of the reasons why, when I think back to youth pastoring in Lethbridge, one of the reasons why my poor small group leaders had some pretty bad small group times was because I gave them terrible questions to ask.
Sure.
They couldn't connect with the kids. They weren't drawing, they weren't drawing out of the kids, you know, what was there to engage the conversation, et cetera, et cetera. So I think coming up with about three or four good questions that should be like clear, probably should be personal. They should get students to think and process, like good, clear, personal questions. Direct questions are important. And I think that we should consider that the type of questions we ask of junior high might be different than the type of questions we would ask of senior high, simply because of the stage of adolescent development. Here's what I mean by that. Jer, I think when someone said it this way for me, I think this was most helpful. When you're thinking about junior high students or middle school, your questions have to be concrete. So we're thinking about like an engineer, how you're clearly building on something. Maybe tell me a story or a time when you did this. What did Jesus say about this? Where do you see that? So it's really concrete. Anyone can speak to it, of course, or they can go looking for the answers. And so I think that's really important. With senior highs, we're thinking more like philosophers. What do you think this meant? What does this mean for you? When you think back in your life, where have you seen this? Or where have you responded like this? So I think those are the two different kind of ways to see that. And I think just articulating like three or four questions, if you don't have most canned content comes with questions already. Don't just take those at face value. You're probably going to have to tweak them to fit your context. You might want to add some questions. The questions might not be very good for your people. So own that. Go through the curriculum, tweak it, make it better. But if they don't come with questions, then come up with three or four of your own. And you might want to try them out on a friend or a family member. What do you think about this? But make sure that you ask great questions as a part of that process.
Yeah. Okay. So number one, you're going to guide. Number two, you're going to re-engage the passage. Number three, you're going to ask great questions, which might mean that you might have to come up with them if you're not provided them. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And then what's your number four? As you get to, I mean, obviously all this stuff is going to help us. We're able to better shepherd students. We're able to, you know, lead them somewhere, which is really good. What's your last one?
I think the last one is we need to apply. So, and again, we've already referenced it. The research tells us that if you do something with the scriptures, it's going to just root itself in very significant ways. And so you have to apply it. And what that means, that's twofold, Jer. We think this is best. As a leader, first you need to apply your life to the truth. So this again is, if you can spend some time wrestling with the study before you get to your kids, wrestling, what does this actually mean for me? Then you can bring that into this application piece and you can say something like, hey, ladies, this is where like I've been wrestling with this. This is what it's moved me to do differently or how I've responded this week. So I think that's really great. But secondly, you can do application with students where you go, hey, what are we going to do this week? What's one or two ways we should respond to what we've just studied? And it's wonderful to like hear from the group. You could do something like this, Jer. You could say, hey, let's all come up with a list of possible ways we could respond to what we just studied. And then you could list them. And then you could go, okay, what's one or two of these that we're going to try this week? Great. And I'm going to ask you about it midweek. I'll send a text out or something to that effect. Or next week when we gather again, we're going to come back to this to see how it went for you. But that application, especially that immediate application piece, is really important for rooting that truth in the life of a young person.
Yeah. Trying to think of how well, I was wrestling with this last week in terms of application, because obviously, we want to be doers of the word. We don't want to be just hearers of the word. And so that's a part of it.
James.
Yeah. That's not a Jeremy quote. One of the things that we were just processing for our own church services of like, what do we want to send people out? And it was almost like, and I don't know if this helps with anybody, but I use the analogy of like, you know, if you're listening to a song and there's a sense of like that melody and there's tension that songs create that get resolved with the chorus or get resolved with the melody or they get resolved when the beat drops, you know, and we just kind of know this instinctively when we're listening to music. Where it's like, oh yeah, that's where it ends. And so there's this sense that maybe when we communicate to students, when they're a part of things, when they hear messages in our small group, that there's a little bit of tension, and the only way to resolve it is to actually go and to do what Christ has asked us to do, or where we read, or the passage, and that hopefully students walk out feeling a little bit of that tension, recognizing that it resolves when we anchor ourselves back into, again, whatever that application moment has been, or whatever that specific thing we're called to do from that particular week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's so good. Way to go. I love that so much, Jer. I get so excited when I think about a volunteer leader opening up the word with a group of students, wrestling with it, fighting to understand it, and then really going, hey, what difference could this make? And modeling that before their students. Like, I just think that's so powerful, you guys. So bless you in that. Thank you so much for the work that you do. This kind of stuff really matters. And it's not easy, right? Like, Jared, this takes work. It's hard on us. I'm like, I don't know if I want to wrestle with this idea very much either. This is going to affect my life significantly, but it's never just about us. It's always about us, never just about us. And it's about the work that we've been called to do. So
yeah. Good work. So what's better for your youth ministry, live teaching or video curriculum? The answer is the youth ministry that's got leaders that are going to guide students, re-engage the passage, ask great questions, and then apply what you've been talking about. We'll see you next time over here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.